If you will, open your Bibles with me tonight to Isaiah chapter 11. There is a period of time coming known as the Millennial Kingdom. It is a promise to the nation of Israel. It is an exciting time for the church, for it is during that time we shall be here with Christ, ruling and reigning with Him. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 9 deal with that period of time. There are those who say that the Millennial Kingdom is not a real thousand-year kingdom. They are called amillennialists, meaning no millennium. They say that you have to spiritually interpret the thousand years to mean something other than a thousand years, and that all the promises are not to be taken literally, but spiritually. I like what one person said, people who translate the scripture that way haven't spiritualized the text, they vaporized them. There are others that say that we are in the kingdom now and that the Lord will return after the kingdom is over. They are called post-millennialists. It's a crazy kind of kingdom that we're in. How can you have a kingdom without a king? But I believe that the thousand years that the Bible speaks of in Revelation 20 are to be taken literally. There's no reason not to take them literally. Five times a thousand years is mentioned in the first part of Revelation chapter 20. I think you just understand it that way. I think it's necessary to take the promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to be fulfilled literally, as everything else was fulfilled literally. But let me ask you a question, since this is our Sunday School Promotion Sunday. I thought I'd give the lesson tonight a little bit of a Sunday School flavor to it. What sets apart the Millennial Kingdom from the rest of time? What makes it unique? Larry? Okay. Okay. But in the original creation, wasn't that the way it was? Okay, so it's not that necessarily unique. Okay, the Lord physically resided on the earth for 33 years during His first advent. Didn't reign, that's true. So there's a little bit of uniqueness, but not completely. Pardon? Leslie? Satan will be bound. That certainly is unique about the kingdom. That has never happened before. Well, there's a number of unique things about it, or somewhat unique things. Longevity of life, but let's face it, back in early biblical times, you had Methuselah-type characters that lived over 900 years of age, so that's not necessarily unique. It'll be a time of great productivity. But, to be quite honest, we're living in a time of great productivity. We have found ways to increase agricultural production, to be efficient in manufacturing and so forth, to supply the goods that we need. We're living in very prosperous time. Now, it'll even be greater in the Millennial Kingdom, but that's just a matter of degrees. It'll be a time of literal thousand years, but let's face it, the church has been around for 2,000 years. So it's not necessarily a unique period of time that way. Well, I believe in Isaiah chapter 11, there are four characteristics here of the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Millennial Kingdom, and those four things taken together as a whole make the millennium a very unique time. Now, having said all that, what makes a Christian unique from an unsaved person? Outwardly, well, there may or may not be a whole lot of differences. I really think Christians should look unique from the rest of the world. That doesn't mean that you have to have quote-unquote Christian clothes. I think there are principles of modesty that certainly are enforceable from Scripture. I think there's a principle of orderliness from 1 Corinthians 14:40. But other than that, I don't know that there's necessarily Christian hairstyles or shoes or other things that separate us from the world, but I think we should be distinctive. Our vocabulary should be God-honoring, but there are a lot of unsaved people that never swear. I think the way we live should be honoring to the Lord, the things we believe and so forth, but there are a lot of unsaved people that don't get into, quote-unquote, the wicked ways of the world. So what makes the Christian unique? Well, I think a combination of all those things should set us apart. Now, let's see what four things are here. Read along with me. Verse 1 is the first thing. It's our source of being. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. It's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ being a descendant from King David. And King David's father was Jesse. Very good. Christ came from the line of David. There was a promise given to David that there would always be someone to sit upon his throne. And even in the time when Israel was dispersed from his land, the lineage of David was preserved. And as you go through the genealogies in the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Luke, you will find that the Lord Jesus Christ has the right to sit upon the throne of David, his father. He is a physical descendant of David and of necessarily then Jesse. But there's an interesting way this is phrased here. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. In this family tree, we see a big tree. There was David, and then Solomon, and then Rehoboam, and all the kings that followed after him. There was generation after generation. If I remember correctly, there were 14 generations to this and 14 generations to that. If I do my addition correctly, there were 42 generations between David and the Lord Jesus Christ. But we see here something coming out of not a big tree, but roots and a little stump. In other words, that tree had to be cut down, and life had to spring forth from something that died. Well, that speaks of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Interestingly enough, they hung him on a tree and took away his life. Well, actually, as I noted in Sunday school this morning, he laid down his life. He voluntarily gave it up. And they thought that was it. Well, he was raised from the dead. He ascended into heaven, but he promised he's coming again. And here, one from the dead will come back and reign in this kingdom. A rod out of a stem, a branch shall grow out of the roots. We have our source of being in a person who has died and been resurrected. In our own walk as Christians, we have died to self. We have been buried with him in baptism, risen again, according to Romans chapter 6, unto newness of life. The unsaved people, the person lives for himself. He finds within himself everything that he believes is necessary for life and for success. We find that in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That makes us unique. Secondly, verse 2, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, nor reprove after the hearing of his ears. It is not only do we have a unique source of being, but we have a unique spirit of power. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his first advent, had the Holy Spirit come upon him without measure. As he went off into ministry in Matthew chapter 4, in John's baptism, the Spirit came down in a way that resembled a dove. And it was visible to people. And Jesus, even though he was the eternal God, he was fully human, and he operated in submission to the Father's will and did everything that he did by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the millennial kingdom, that same Spirit shall rest upon him. It is the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, and the millennial kingdom shall be a time of unprecedented knowledge. It is the spirit of counsel and might. It is a time where there will be peace upon the earth. There will be a harmony between people. It is the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. The nations will come and say, let us go up and worship the Lord in Jerusalem. There will be an absolute reverence for the person of God. Boy, I wish there was that reverence today. But this same spirit shall make him quick in understanding the fear of the Lord. That will be the same as it was in the first Advent. Jesus spoke always according to the counsel of God. It was interesting in the temptation of Christ in the wilderness as the devil tempted him to do various different things. The Lord didn't respond to him, well, you know what, I think my idea is better. He always responded with, thus saith the Lord. That was the fear of the Lord in action. We have a unique spirit of power, not just resting upon us, but dwelling within us. The very moment you trust Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and makes your body a temple of God. He comes to indwell you. You are sealed with that Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. It is by that Holy Spirit that we are able to accomplish the will of God. It is by that Holy Spirit that we are able to understand the Word of God. It's by that Holy Spirit that we have assurance that we are children of God. That makes us unique. Romans chapter 8 says, if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. The unsaved person simply does not possess the Holy Spirit. Now, they oftentimes talk about the spiritual things and so forth, but simply put, they are void of Him. At the end of verse 3 and the beginning of verse 4 and 5, we see then the standard of living. He shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. A standard of living, of righteousness. Not going to look at just the way things are on the outside. But as we noted in Proverbs 30, verse 12 this morning, from Proverbs, the Lord looks upon the heart. Man can look on the outside, but the Lord ponders the heart. Here in the millennial kingdom, Jesus is going to know everything. Now, as being God, he certainly already does. But nonetheless, in his reign, He will stand up for what is right. He will judge the poor and the oppressed. He will reprove with equity, with justice. Those who are not seeking after their own things, but seeking righteousness, shall inherit the earth. He shall smite the earth with a rod from his mouth. His word will be the law. Righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins. Interesting little phrase. But in biblical times, when men moved around, remember in those times they were wearing something very similar to a dress. In order to get some mobility, they would take the bottom of it and pick it up and put a belt around their waist and hold it up. That gave them some mobility of movement here. This girdle will be a girdle of righteousness. In other words, everywhere he goes and everything he does will be according to righteousness. And then faithfulness will be the girdle of his reins, his innards, his intestines. If you want to put it this way, his gut feelings, his emotions. The things that he loved will be characterized by faithfulness. That should be our standard of living. We should stand up for what's right according to the Word of God. We should defend those that are being persecuted. We should stand up and speak when wrong is committed. We may not necessarily be able to affect righteousness, but we certainly need to stand for it. In our own personal lives, everything that we do and everywhere that we should go should be characterized by righteousness. The things that we express emotion for and desire and love should be characterized by faithfulness or fidelity to the cause of Christ and the love of Jesus Christ. A source of being, a spirit of power, a standard of living. Finally, verse 6 through the end of the passage here, a secret of peace. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Now, some people take this verse out of context and say, okay, a little child will lead people. No, a little child is going to be leading a wolf and a lamb and a leopard and a young lion and a calf and a bunch of animals. A bunch of animals that don't get along very well. A bunch of animals that would like to have each other for lunch. Oh, and they'd like to have the little kid too. And this little child that would be normally deathly afraid of these animals, and rightly so, will be leading them. The cow and the bear shall feed in the same field together. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Apparently in the millennial kingdom, as the curse is removed from this earth, the animals will become all vegetarians. I'm glad I'm going to be in a redeemed body by that time, because if I have to become a vegetarian now, I'm in trouble. And the suckling child shall play upon the hole of an asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den, poisonous snakes. And they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. There will be an absolute peace in the animal kingdom with humanity. And there will be a peace with humans. Why is that? For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Do you know you and I can have a similar type of peace today? Now, I'm not suggesting you go down to an exotic pet store and say, I'd like that rattlesnake and take it home as a pet. That's not what I'm suggesting. But the Bible talks about a peace that you and I can have, a peace that passes all understandings, that shall keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And how is that? Well, Philippians chapter 4 says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are honest, this and that and everything else, think on these things. It also says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart. You think on the things of the Word of God, you take those things and you pray about those things back to God, and God gives you a peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, Romans chapter 5, verse 1, we have peace with God. What separates you from the unsaved world? Well, a source of being, a spirit of power, a standard of living, a secret of peace. Oh, some people manifest one or two of these qualities occasionally in their lives, and they don't make any difference. But the person who manifests all four of these unique qualities will make a difference in the world, just as the millennial kingdom will be unique and make a difference in time. Let's be careful to manifest all four of these things. A source of being. Are you walking through life vitally in touch with the person who died and rose again for you? Well, we've trusted Him as Savior, but do we have that intimate fellowship with Him? Is our life a life of being crucified with Him? Nevertheless, we live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, a resurrected Christ. Do we constantly rely upon the Holy Spirit? Are we saying, I'll do this in my own strength? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but Jesus said in John chapter 15, without me, you can do nothing. Do we have a standard of living that is biblical? Do we say, is this conforming to the will of God, or is this antithetical to it? Will what I do prove to be righteous, or is it just whatever the world says? Do we have a secret of peace? If you can say yes to all four of those things, you will make a difference in the world in which you live. Let's pray. Father, as the day approaches, we know prophetically speaking, we have at least 7 more years until that millennial kingdom begins. But Lord, maybe that trumpet will sound tonight and the Lord Jesus will come in the rapture of the church and we'll be with Him, and it's just a matter of time then. But Lord, help us even now, whether we be 7 years away or 7,000 years away from the kingdom, to be living with a source of being, a spirit of power, a standard of living, and a secret of peace that the millennial kingdom will exhibit. May we be unique, distinct from this world, and be used of You to make a difference in it, for the glory that will one day be manifested when Jesus Christ is here and reigning in power. We pray for His sake, in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good week.